I don't know about you, but I'm having a feast this morning. Yes. We're drinking from the springs of living water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to share a little bit this morning, okay? I said a little, right? So you have to hold me to that. But I asked you, Father, first of all, in Jesus' name, that you give me exactly, Lord, what I need to say in this. And Lord, we want to hear from you. Lord, I don't have anything to give except what you first give to me. So I ask you to grant me, Lord, that fresh manna today in Jesus' name. And hallelujah. You know, the Bible says we need to go back and look into the mirror, right? Isn't that what James said? Lest we forget. So we'd be reminded today that, you know, we were purchased at the highest price. No one suffered like our Jesus. The sins of the world was placed upon him. All of our sin and our transgression, all the wickedness, all the sins of men. But he was willing to do that for us so we could be free, we could be liberated. In Luke 24 and verse 1, title of the message today is Children of the Resurrection. Anybody here a child of the resurrection? Yes. Now on the first day of the week, early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. In Luke 24 and verse 5, it says, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? I like to always share this fact that if you go to any city in Israel today, at least the majority, unless there may be a newer city, the majority of the cities, the graves are outside of the city because they were God's representatives in the earth and they were to have nothing to do with the dead. All right? And so they were to put away, basically, the dead things. And there was symbolism in that, of course. And just like you and I today, we are to live separate from the dead things. Amen? From the evil, from the wickedness, and that is so prevalent. We are like lights in the midst of a dark world, aren't we? But that's where we're called to be because we are nightlights, right? And nightlights need to be where it's dark. And I know I've had thoughts about moving and going down to the Bible Belt. And I thought, well, let's just find a place where I'm completely surrounded with Christians. Wouldn't that be nice, you know? No, not necessarily because there may not be much fruit there. Come on. But God has you right where you're at for a reason. He has me right where I'm at for a reason. Amen. And I'm not going anywhere unless God tells me to. You know, my flesh may say I'd rather do something else, but if that's the case, then my flesh needs to shut up and sit down because the Holy Spirit needs to be in charge. Amen? Amen. So, again, Jesus, you know, as followers of Jesus, we are to separate ourselves from the wickedness or the evil. All right. He didn't say I'm going to take you out of the world, but I'm going to keep you what? I want to keep you from the evil. Amen. And so it's possible to live, amen, in a sin-sick world and live holy, amen, because our trust is not in ourself and our ability to do that, but in God's grace. And the Lord's grace is sufficient for us. If we will rely upon him, if we will stay topped off, stay filled, amen, we'll walk in victory, amen. How many know that praise is toxic to the devil? Amen. So we need to be giving God praise and abiding in that place of praise. Amen. If you feel the enemy encroaching upon you, you know, and you're feeling you're losing your victory, or maybe you're starting to get irritable and, you know, and losing your cool, and those things happen to all of us, don't they, at times? Well, it just means you need to go deeper into God. You need to draw some more water, drink some more, right? Have another drink. All right? And drink deeply from the wells of Yeshua, salvation. Amen. So now we know that the demonic realm, okay, is attracted to dead things. One of the names given to Satan is Beelzebub. How many know what that means? Lord of the flies, right? And so flies are attracted to stinky things, dead things. Amen? And so that's why we should have nothing to do with stinky things, dead things, all right? Sinful things, wicked things, right? Because we are to be a savor of Christ to the world, we have to be a light in the darkness, amen? So you can't let the enemy put out your flame, amen, by compromising. You know, you never accomplish anything by compromising with the world. We have to be separate, amen? The world should know that there's something different about us. Can you say amen? There's something different about our lives. Hallelujah. But they're just like, demon spirits are just like flies. And they're attracted to dead things. And it's interesting, you know, I did preach a message on this a while back about why do you seek the living among the dead? He says, you're looking in the wrong place. He's not here. He's not in that grave. He's alive forevermore. He's risen. Seek him who is alive forevermore. Amen. Seek him who is above. Hallelujah. So if we even flirt with any form of evil, we're opening ourselves up to the demonic. And could invite trouble into our lives. And the reason why some believers struggle in their walk is because they have a casual attitude towards sin. Somebody say amen. You can't have a casual attitude. You cannot compromise. You should have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. We are to be a separate people, amen? We're in the world, but we're not of it. Jesus didn't take us out, okay, of the world, but he wants us to light up the night, to be a blessing, amen, to represent him in this world. How many know that Jesus was not affected, amen, by the wickedness of his day, amen? Because he abided, amen, in the Father continually. He walked in union, amen, with communion, even with the Father, amen? And the Holy Spirit would direct his steps, amen, and he would rely upon the grace, all right, of his Father. Even as he was a human and God incarnate, he was the God-man, amen. But in his flesh, he could have compromised. In his flesh, he could have sinned. In his flesh, he was tempted like we are, amen, in every way, yet without sin. He was the perfect, righteous one, holy in every respect. Only Jesus could be the sacrifice for our sins. Why? Because sin cannot pay for sin. So he was the perfect righteous one. Amen. He was the Lamb of God without spot or blemish that was chosen by God. He was willing to come to this world. Amen. To become our sacrifice. But how many know that the grave could not hold him? On the third day, he rose again victorious. Why? Because he was without sin. Hallelujah. And he overcame death. Hallelujah. He overcame the grave. He overcame hell. He overcame the sin problem for us. Praise God. In Christ, you also, amen, should consider yourself dead to sin, but alive unto God. Amen. Because we have been raised up together with Christ and seated in the heavenly places. You remember the demoniac in Mark chapter 5. When he was set free, remember from the legion of demons? Remember they went into the swine and went into the water? Well, he had to move away from that area. He didn't continue to hang out in the graves, did he? No, he pulled himself out of that whole situation, right? He could no longer live along among the dead, all right? And then he began to live among the living, all right? So likewise, when you and I have been raised to new life in the Lord, all right, we are living in a whole brand new way, aren't we? It's a whole different way of living for us now. It's not, we cannot live out of the old and the new. You cannot put a new patch on an old garment, Jesus said. You got to be born again. You got to be born of the Spirit, amen. And if Christ is in you, amen, then you have already been united with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. If Christ is in you, that means that you also have been raised up together with him and seated in the heavenly places. How many? Far above all principality and power, far above all the wickedness. Amen. So we can, even in this world, we can live holy because God gives us the power to control what we do in our body. Come on. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and our body is subject to us. We can do what we want with our body, but as a child of God, we're supposed to sanctify ourselves, amen, and separate ourselves and preserve ourselves for him, for his use, amen. So we cannot be given ourselves over to sexual immorality, amen, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was with us in everything we do. So as children of life, we're no longer to hang out in dead places. I lived in a dead place, hung out with dead people, dead places. Are you hearing me? Listen to dead movies and dead music, dead entertainment. Amen. We're no longer to handle the dead things like, amen, even in Israel, he told them that they, if they had been defiled by a dead body, amen, they had to go through a ceremonial cleansing, amen, to be made holy again, right, as a priesthood. Okay, and there was a type of a shadow of you and I today that we're not to have anything to do with dead things. Are you hearing me? We're not to be involved, amen, in drugs or porn or witchcraft or the occult. Well, let me just also add this: Lucky Charms. Some people think, oh, there's no big deal. I just have this little thing around my neck, and you know, it keeps me safe. And I'm putting my faith in this, you know, this jewelry to keep me protected, all right? From how many know that's just a magnet for a demon? Amen. I know I was dealing with a young lady one time when I was in youth ministry, and she had this demonic thing hanging around her neck, and I knew it was connected to the occult. Amen. It was part of why she was having problems. And I said, honey, I said, you need to remove that. You need to take that off. I says, because it's a magnet for demons. And she completely came unglued, became red in the face, angry, ripped it, broke the chain. But she threw it down. But she was angry and she threw it down. That thing had a hold on her. I remember one time we had done some deliverance even. And we had a breakthrough one night when we were doing youth ministry, and Holy Spirit really fell in power. And all of a sudden, hidden things began to surface. Come on. Those spirits that were in some of those kids started to come out. Screaming and torment, you know. So we prayed. And we cast the demons out, you know. And it was interesting because on the way back from that meeting, I took a van and I used to pick up the kids. And many of them I drop off at their homes. This is in Tacoma. And on the way back, one of the girls behind me, she called me Brother Keith. I didn't go by pastor. He's just Brother Keith. That's okay with me. And she said, you know, I want you to come in sometime and see my unicorn collection. And right away it was like, boom. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, how do I address this? How do I say? Because she was so proud of her. She had collected all these unicorns. Of course, if you know anything about unicorns, they're connected to the occult world, you know, and in the New Age, they even consider that their Christ, a symbol of their Christ, okay? Which of course would be the Antichrist. And so you don't want to play around with demonic objects, amen? And her room was filled with them, and she was one of the girls that had deliverance. So I said, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to do something with that. She broke down and bawled because there was such an attachment to that. And, you know, I don't remember if she ever dealt with them or not. I hope that she did. But the thing is this, is that so often we can be connecting ourselves to things and not even realizing what we're connecting to. All right, or in allowing things in our homes that we should not be allowing. We need to pray for discernment. We need to say, Holy Spirit, show me if this is okay for my home. Amen. We need to guard ourselves, don't we? Protect ourselves. The enemy is very subtle. He's very slick, isn't he? He knows how to just wiggle his way in. And but we are children of the light. We've been raised together with Christ. We're children of the resurrection. And so therefore, amen, we need to live a holy life. We need to live clean and have nothing to do with dead things anymore. Hallelujah. When I first got born again, I was in a rock band. And I went back to practice even after I got saved. I was excited about Jesus. I was telling people about Jesus. And I went back to practice. And here we are doing Black Sabbath and all this stuff back in the day. And when we would stop for a break, I'd say, "You guys heard about Jesus?" I mean, there's a contradiction there somewhere, you know. But eventually the Lord, you know, had to basically got me out of that situation and told me I need to leave that behind. He's got something different for me to do. And that's kind of what I've been doing since then, you know. I've been singing for Jesus now, amen, giving God glory, hallelujah. I'm not saying all music is wrong, but what I was doing was not good, amen. What I was involved with was not good. It was a dead thing, amen. And it didn't produce any life. In fact, today, sometimes I'll listen. Once in a while, I'll be in a store and I'll be hearing a song playing, amen. And I'm thinking, man, there's no life in that. It may be a cool tune or whatever, but there's no life in it. But when we sing praises to God, it's pregnant with the life of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you want to get high, we say what? Go to the Most High. God will make you higher than anything this world can offer you. Hallelujah. Amen. But even a lot of our youth today, you know, they've grown up in the death culture. You know, everything's about skulls and death and black and, you know, even celebrating holidays, you know, that have to do with death, you know. I think Halloween is terrible. I hate it. I'm just going to tell you. Not everybody's agreed with me, but I don't want anything to do with it. Amen. I have a conviction about that. Amen. I feel we should be celebrating life. Amen. Not death. Jesus came to deliver us from death. Amen. From the power of it. And once you're saved, you just got to leave the dead things behind and get into life. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. How many know this? Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when we pray and when we praise and when we seek the Lord, we are seeking Him who is life. Amen. He is our life now. All spiritual blessings. Amen. Such as new life, righteousness, peace, and joy, forgiveness, glory, they're all found in the heavenly realms in Christ. And He's given us access to His throne of grace. Can you say amen? So the Holy Spirit is given to us in His Word, amen? These are the means of supporting our heavenly life here on the earth. If you got heaven in your heart, amen, you can experience heaven in the midst of hell. Amen. We don't have to let hell get on us. We want heaven to get on hell. Amen. And drive it out. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of power and He's the Spirit of the resurrection. Amen. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will what? Also give life to your mortal bodies. We're going to get a glorified body someday. Amen. We're going to be raised together. In the first resurrection, amen, you don't want to be a part of the second resurrection. All right? Through what? His Spirit who dwells within you. So you and I as believers, we still have authority to choose, don't we? We have that free will to choose. All right? And we can choose to walk in death. Even if we've been, all right, washed and brought into life. Has anybody ever done that? Have you known anybody that's ever done that? They were washed, they were cleansed, they were brought into their life. Life sprung up in them, and all of a sudden they find themselves right back into the same pit again. Because they made a choice to do so. Not because they had to. But because we sometimes will make a willful decision to do what we know God says not to do. And how many know it's not very smart to do that? It's not very wise to do contrary to what you know God's will is. Why? Because God wants to protect you and the devil wants to trap you. And every time you compromise with evil, you're giving him an opportunity. Just saying. A believer can make the choice to walk in death even after she was washed and brought into life. Peter says it like this: a dog returning to its vomit and a sow having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. So as believers, we've been made alive in Christ. We've been set free from the power of sin and darkness. Can you say amen? Colossians 1:13, He, Christ, has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You mean I've been set free from the power of darkness? Yes. We have to come to faith in what God says, amen, and not what the situation is dictating, not how we feel at the moment, but what God says. We live by the truth, and God says He has delivered us from the power of darkness. In other words, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to Satan. Amen? God has delivered me from His captivity, from His power. So why would I put myself back into captivity again by listening to His voice? That's not very smart, is it? A believer, we can make that choice. All right, so in Christ, we're no longer slaves of sin. You know, and of course, that's why Jesus said that you have to be born again. You can't just kind of try to patch up your old life or improve your old life. When you've been born again, you become a new creation. How many here are a new creation in Christ today? You knew something took place and that you were changed. Hallelujah. Amen. You're just not the same person. But you also understand there's another part of you that's trying to get you to trip up. And you have to put that part to death every day and say, no, devil, I'm not listening to you. Amen. No to the flesh, no to the devil, no to the world. Amen. But yes to God, yes to His will for my life every day. And God gives you the grace to do what He's called you to do. Amen. How many know God won't convict you of sin without giving you the grace to be free from it? Amen. So as believers, we're supposed to be living now from our new identity, right? In Christ. Everybody's having problems with identity, right? Trying to figure out who they are. I don't like who I am. I have to change myself to be somebody I'm not. And it still doesn't work for them, amen? They're finding out it's causing all kinds of problems, all right? Trying to be somebody that they're not. God designed us a certain way, amen? And and we need to understand who we are and our true identity as human beings, but also as a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to Satan. I'm no longer a slave to sin. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter 2:9 talks about our new identity, and it says, you are a chosen generation. These are the names that God gave to Israel, amen? But we are the spiritual Israel today. There's the national Israel, and God has promises for national Israel. But in Christ, this Jew and Gentile brought together in one new man, and we are the spiritual Israel, all right? We are that chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. For what reason? That we may proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we need to let our light so shine before men. That means that I need to tell people about Jesus. I need to share my faith. Amen. I should never be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Amen. How many know that you want to talk about somebody that you really admire? Mm-hmm. Someone that you really honor. Someone you really respect. You want to talk about that person. Come on. It doesn't matter whether it's popular with man. I'd rather be popular with God than popular with man. Jesus is the one that died for me. He paid the price that I deserve to pay. I owe Him everything. We are debtors to, amen, debtors of love, to give ourselves willingly back to Him, to submit ourselves to Him. So our purpose in the new creation is to be a light in this dark world for Christ. In 1 Peter 2:11, he said, beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims. That's who we are. This home world is not our home. Why do we sometimes we're trying to make it, get our roots down too deep? Come on, into our stuff and everything else. Come on, we're only passing through. We're pilgrim people, amen? This is not our eternal home. He said, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Who's he talking to here? He's talking to the church. He's talking to us. Not only is this passage referring to all forms of sexual immorality, but to anything that is inconsistent with the will of God for us. That could be a weight, and a weight, amen, is just something that would hinder our communion with God, or that would hinder us in our spiritual growth. So it could be a good thing, but it's a good thing that gets in the way of God's will for my life. How many know that we're surrounded with a lot of good things too? It's not all bad. Amen. But sometimes we can allow too much of a good thing. Amen. To where now that good thing has become an idol or a hindrance in our lives. And we need to say, Lord, is this okay? We need to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. So we can't be putting entertainment before the Lord. We cannot be putting our will before the will of God. As children of God who've been blood bought, amen, that the Lord has purchased with His own blood, we owe God our lives. That's our reasonable service, is to give our lives back to Him. Amen. I know a lot, some people don't want to give up their life, but you know, if you try to hold on to it, you'll lose it. If you really want to live, live for God. Amen. You want joy? Live for Jesus. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 2:12, it says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, right? Those who are without. That when they speak evil or against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe. Oh, so my life needs to be an example. Glorify God in the day of visitation. So not only must we discipline our lives, God gives us the ability to do that by His Spirit, but we also need to maintain good conduct, all right? And that's part of the discipline, is that we need to behave ourselves, all right? We're not to conform to the pattern of this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, amen? That we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many want to know the will of God, amen? That means we can no longer try to assimilate into this world. This world is not our home. We're a pilgrim people. We're passing through. We're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. We're to put our affections on things above where Christ is. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been raised up and seated together with Him. Amen. So we're no longer citizens of this world, but citizens of heaven. So we should walk as children of God. Amen. Walk as citizens of heaven. When we're born again, you know, let me just give you a quick backdrop here because I said quick. When I was making attempts to do the right thing, I was hooked on some things, caught up in some things in this world, and I needed to get free. I needed to get right with God. I knew that in my heart. I had a friend that got saved, and he was driving me nuts. Because he was kept talking to me about Jesus and trying to drag me off to Bible study. But I knew that I needed to do something, you know. And so I would make the attempt, okay, to do the right thing. And I was going to go to, I might have told you this before, but I was going to go to a Bible study with him. And in downtown Colorado Springs, guess what? I ran a red light and caused an accident on the way to the Bible study. How many know the devil didn't want me going to that Bible study? And then right away, the devil comes up and says, that's what happens when you try to follow Jesus, you know. Ever heard that? I had somebody recently text me and say, man, seemed like every time I try to do the right thing and I try to make steps in the right direction, everything seems to go wrong. I said, well, welcome aboard. Amen. That just means that you're doing something right. Amen. But if you pray, God will give you the ability to overcome that. Amen. Hallelujah. Just don't give in to it. Fight the good fight. Put the devil on notice. Say, get out of my way. You're not going to stop me from doing what God calls me to do. Because if God calls you to come to church, amen, He'll give you the grace to do it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. You just need to make the decision you're going to make it. I remember Brother Phil, loved Brother Phil so much, Elvis' husband, sweetheart of a guy, loved the Lord, just loved the presence of the Lord. And that guy, man, sometimes, you know, he was so hurt or sick or hurting or whatever, dealing with stuff. But if he could crawl in, he would crawl to church. You know, he would, because he just loved the Lord. He loved the fellowship with God's people. And, you know, I loved that passion that he had. And, you know, it's really about, Lord, what do you say? Not how do I feel today, but Lord, what do you want me to do? All right. If God tells you to stay home, then stay home. But if God says go, go. Come on. We're supposed to be led of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just make sure you're listening to the right voice. Well, I don't feel led. But what did Jesus say? Oh, that's right. He did say that, didn't he? Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and what? I love this, raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or those who had died. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. I love this verse 22. For as in Adam, all die. People need to understand that unless they're born again, they will not see the kingdom. There's no salvation apart from Jesus. You must have Christ in you to have salvation. Are you hearing me? And Adam all die. That means what we were born naturally, who we were born naturally. But in Christ all shall be made alive. So if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall what? Give life to your mortal body. Hallelujah. How many know that you're not going to find life among the dead? Amen? He's not there. He's risen. Amen? And if we're in Christ, we've been risen with him spiritually and positionally seated with him in the heavenly places. So we're supposed to live from heaven to earth. We're not climbing up a ladder to get into heaven. We're already united with him in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And it's a word away. All we have to do is say, Lord, help. Amen. Lord, grant me grace. Hallelujah. You won't find true satisfaction in this world that is passing away. How many discovered that already? It's only in Christ. In Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation, I finish, in any other, for there is what? No other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other name. There's no other God. There's only one way to salvation. And that's why people need the Lord. They need to choose Jesus. And they need to know what Jesus did for them. That Jesus died for their sins but rose for their justification. And he's making forgiveness of sins available to whoever will turn to him with a repentant heart. That means if a person is willing to turn away from their sin and turn to Jesus, he will forgive them. Amen. They will receive a full pardon. He will put his spirit within them. They'll become sons and daughters of the Most High God. And then they can live a heavenly life in a world filled with devils. Amen. And God has called us to enforce what he's already done for us. He's already won the victory for us. He's authorized us to go in his name. Amen. And proclaim the kingdom, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. Amen. God has called you and I to partner with him. Hallelujah. Because if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us, amen, then greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we should not in any way be intimidated or fearful of our adversaries, amen, because God was with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. Amen. He's been given the name above every name, far above all principality and power. Hallelujah. And he has now authorized us and commissioned us to go in his name. Amen. Preach the gospel to every nation. Make disciples, he said. Followers. Students. Learners. His spirit is with us now. And that's what we need to know. There's times in our lives where we feel like maybe, God, I feel so far away, so distant from you. Ever feel that way? Don't look so sanctified out there. Yes, you felt that way, right? There's times when we just feel like maybe God is, maybe, and then the enemy will come over, and then sometimes there's only a test. And he'll say, it's because God's upset with you, or God's done with you, or God has left you. But that's when we go back to our training manual and say, but what did Jesus say in his book here? I will never leave you, nor forsake you. He said, lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end. Amen. Ooh, yeah, tara, oh, mokosa. If God be for us, I finish with this, Revelation 22:12. Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work." People need the Lord. Amen? Say, "Lord, use me to be your mouthpiece to speak." Amen? To bring comfort, to bring healing. Look for opportunities. God will open doors if you're willing. He's looking for laborers. He said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest." That means you and I, amen? Hallelujah. And if my heart's not there, if I don't feel like doing that, then it means my heart needs to change and I need to repent and say, "Lord, change my heart." How many know that the Lord loves people? The Lord's not willing that anyone should perish. The Lord wants people to know the truth that will set them free. He wants a family. He wants sons and daughters. And so he calls us to partner with him. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." He is coming. He is the God who was and is to come. The Almighty. He's coming to reign. Hallelujah. He's coming in clouds of glory. Amen. And so he said, "Watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man." Today is decision time. It is time for us to make up our minds who we will serve. Amen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so good. You're so gracious. You're so merciful. We appreciate you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done. Lord, we want to live the rest of our lives to bless you back, to love you back. How can I love you back, Lord? Show me how I can love you back by the way I live my life before the watching world, to be an example even to my brothers and sisters, Lord. Father, I pray, strengthen your people. Strengthen us with might in the inner man by your Spirit. Father, give us the grace we need to overcome ourselves, our flesh, this world, and that devil. For Lord, you have already overcome him. And you have authorized us to enforce in our lives what you have already accomplished. It is finished. It is finished. Hallelujah. And you have the keys. So you've authorized us. Grant us, Father, the grace we need. And we thank you, Lord, for the goodness you have shown us today. How you have blessed us and refreshed us and strengthened us and encouraged us. That we can come together and gather, Lord, and celebrate who you are. You are the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Be glorified, Lord, in the heavens. Be glorified in the earth. And be glorified in your people, Lord, even this day. Hallelujah. As we leave this place and enter into the mission field for your name's sake, keep us mindful, Lord, of everything you've taught us. In Jesus' name, amen.